Now, the U.S. Department of the Interior released the Federal Indian Boarding School Initiative investigative report earlier this May. The 106-page report reveals at least 500 deaths of Native American children forced to attend those schools and the physical, emotional, and sexual abuse they experienced. From 1819 to 1969, the federal government managed 408 boarding schools within 37 states, including some in Wisconsin. Interior Secretary Deb Haaland spoke earlier this month about the report.
As the federal government moved the country west, they also moved to exterminate, eradicate, and assimilate Native Americans, Alaska Natives, and Native Hawaiians. The languages, cultures, religions, traditional practices, and even the history of Native communities, all of it was targeted for destruction. Nowhere is that clearer than in the legacy of federal Indian boarding schools.
You can join the conversation at 800-642-1234. Did you or someone you know have to go to one of those boarding schools? If so, how did that impact your or their lives? What questions do you have about this long history of Native American children being forced to go to these schools? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234 or email ideas@wpr.org. Levi Rickard is the founder, publisher, and editor of Native News Online, a member of the Prairie Band Potawatomi Nation. Levi, welcome back to Central Time.
My pleasure, Rob.
Before we dig into this report, can you talk about what these boarding schools were? Because I think for non-natives, the phrase boarding school maybe conjures up, you know, something in England or something like that. What do we mean by these?
And you're exactly right. Here in the United States, even in New England, the boarding schools, typically wealthy people send their children to boarding schools. But these boarding schools were schools set up across the United States, into even into Alaska, when it was just a territory in Native Hawaii, to take children from their homes, Native children from their homes, put them in boarding schools with the intention to assimilate them into American society. And as the report that you mentioned, the 106-page report that came out last week, they clear indication that there was physical, sexual, emotional abuse. And what's really historic about this report is the first time the U.S. government has officially acknowledged this abuse that took place. And as you mentioned, up to 500 deaths. And I wrote an editorial last week that I just feel like it's the tip of the iceberg in terms of the deaths.
Now, I think for people who are not familiar with this story, this report may seem shocking. I'm guessing for a lot of Native Americans, this confirms a lot that people already knew, right?
That's very true. And I talked to one of our staff last week who, she's in her 20s. She's from Boyce Fort up in Minnesota. And I asked her, I said, tell me, as you were coming up,
we're losing our connection with our guest there, Levi Rickard with Native News Online, talking about a new report on Native American boarding schools around the U.S., a new federal report looking at the damage, the harm done. You can join in with your questions at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Or you can email ideas@wpr.org. This report tracks a 150-year history of Native American children being forced into these boarding schools, the damage it's done, and the legacy it leaves today. Again, you can join in at 800-642-1234 or email ideas@wpr.org. We'll hopefully get that connection back up and rejoin the conversation coming up here on Central Time. You're listening to Central Time here on the Ideas Network. I'm Rob Ferret. Coming up in just a bit, it's this week's edition of Food Friday. We're going to get some great advice on foods to bring along to maybe a Memorial Day cookout, maybe a picnic this summer. It's summertime foods to bring and pass a dish and share. You can get started right now over on the Ideas Network Facebook page. Let us know what your favorites are, or if you have a question for our guest who is an expert on this kind of stuff. Again, you can head over to the Ideas Network Facebook page. And as always with Food Friday, we've got some recipes at wpr.org/foodfriday. Levi Rickert is with us now from Native News Online. We're looking at this new report on the history of boarding schools that Native American children were forced to go into over the course of 150 years, looking at the findings of the report and the significance. Levi, I think we have you back. You were talking about some of the significance of this report, the fact that it was done and it came out. Can you pick up where you left off, please?
Sure. I want to make a point. It was very historic because it's the first time the U.S. government has admitted to the abuse, which included physical, sexual, and emotional abuse, and up to 500 deaths. And I think that the death count, 500, many experts believe is very low, and it's just the tip of the iceberg.
What kind of things do we learn about the reasons for the existence of the boarding school? As you mentioned at the outset, the concept here was to assimilate Native American children. What did that mean in practice as far as what was done to, taught to, and forbidden to the children who were sent to these schools?
Well, what happened was there's a lot of abuse. And first of all, the separation from the families is pretty significant. Oftentimes, children from far away as Alaska were sent down to Carlisle, Pennsylvania, which is literally thousands of miles away. And the separation really worked to destroy the fabric of American Indian families. And it still lingers to today. And as the Assistant Secretary of the Interior, Brian Newland, said last week, that every Native American, whether they even acknowledge it or even know it, has been negatively impacted by boarding schools. And I know it's true in all of our families.
And this happened, as I mentioned, as recently as 1969. I mean, there are people still alive today who attended these schools, maybe worked at them. And then the report also talks about somewhat you were just touching on there, the generational trauma, how that disruption of family life you mentioned echoed through the generations, even for people who maybe didn't attend those schools themselves. Can you talk about that a little?
Well, that's very true. And what happens is at these schools, and the students really did not get that love that all of us need, and that those interpersonal relationships. I have seen grown adults, male and female, who are Native American, cry about how their mother or their grandparents never knew how to love them properly, give them proper hugs, and show them the attention that's really is needed. And when that is stolen from us, that those interpersonal relationships, it continues from one generation to the next. And I think all of us who are really aware of what's going on now as Native Americans, we have to really stop ourselves and really do self-assessments, even within our own families, and say, how can I be a better parent to my children, for instance? Am I showing them the proper love and respect? And I will say this, I come from a real strong Native American family, but my grandmother attended a boarding school, and we look back at some of the things that have happened in our family, and we are saying, acknowledging that maybe this is a result of the boarding school experience that grandma went through.
This report now, it is just a report, but do you see it as a step to try to recognize what happened and find ways to, I don't know what, acknowledge, make amends?
Well, I think it's first of all, the fact that the government for the first time ever has acknowledged is pretty significant. Significant to me as a Native American, because the federal government, a lot of times, they just ignored some of our issues. And so I think the fact that Deb Haaland, who happens to be the first American Indian, not just a woman, she's a woman, but first American Indian, Native American, she's of the Pueblo, Laguna Pueblo in New Mexico. The idea that she was in that role, I just don't think that a white male, who typically are the Secretary of the Interior, would have taken it this far, and she's allowed this to proceed. And Brian Newland, who is a friend of mine, because I'm from Michigan, he's from Brimley, Michigan, Bay Mills community up there. They have really taken this beyond what I would think the typical non-Native bureaucrats and officials, in all due respect, would have taken it. And so that is significant. And what I would like to see happen, and Deb Haaland, Secretary of the Interior, is embarking on a Road to Healing tour this year where she will engage with survivors of boarding schools, and they're going to work further to identify those who have died in boarding schools, where the graves are. And so I think that's just really good step. And I love the word healing, because I think all of us, and I don't care whether you're Native American or what color you are, all of us need healing in our lives, and it's just important. And I like to tell people that healing is a lifelong process. It's not something you can't go to necessarily a church service or a therapy session and think all of your problems in life will be solved overnight. It doesn't happen that way. It's a life process. And this is the generation, I think, can really make the big difference because of what Deb Haaland is allowing to happen right now.
Levi Rickert is with us, founder, publisher, and editor of Native News Online, looking at a new report from the U.S. Department of the Interior, looking at the 150-year history of boarding schools that Native American children were forced to go to, the damage done, and next steps. You can join in at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Let's go to our callers now. Tricia is with us in Black Earth. Tricia, hi.
Hi. Yeah, I just wanted to confirm from a very different perspective. I am white as wool, and in 1968 got married to a man who was just taken into the teacher corps, which was new and sort of like a domestic Peace Corps. And I think there was a bit of an attempt to try and ameliorate some of the damage that was done. We were taught a bit, as much as we could absorb in a few months, about the Navajo culture, and we learned a little bit of the language, and our job was to try and soften some of those sort of brutal.
Tricia, I think we lost you there, but Levi, Tricia said that a key year there, 1968, a year before 1969, which the report says is when these ended. What was going on around that time that led to the end of this forced boarding school policy?
Well, whereas I know the report says that, and this really deals with the federal boarding schools, I know in Michigan we had one at a run by the Catholic Diocese in northern Michigan at Harbor Springs, Holy Childhood, that existed till 1984. So I personally know people who attended that school. So I think as time went on, I think that people did recognize, in whereas I mentioned the government's just acknowledging it, but some people really knew some of the abuses that were going on. And so I think that there were people within the systems really trying to eradicate, stop all that and arrest that, because they knew it was having a negative effect on Native Americans. So it's kind of hard for me to really ascertain why it stopped completely. And there are still some boarding schools existing in the United States that tribes are running. And the difference, key differences, and I want the listeners to know this, the key difference is that the tribes are now running them in that, whereas we were deprived of our language, our culture. The tribes, when there are boarding schools, they have language classes, culturals being taught, and there is a resurgence of American culture, American Indian culture throughout Indian country, which I am really, as a Native person, really excited about.
Tricia, thanks for that call at 800-642-1234. Lisa joins us next in Madison. Lisa, hello.
Hi, I was just wondering if the guests could talk more about, I'm wondering how many of these children, I've heard with the boarding schools on the first year or two, when they'd send them home for the summer, the families would realize they're going to come and take my children back. So the families, of course, would try to hide their children or not let them go. And so then these boarding schools, when they would get these children, would, rather than send them home, send them off to basically white families where these children were treated as slave labor. And I wonder how often this happened, you know, how many boarding schools engaged in this practice.
Lisa, thanks for the call. Levi, do we know the scope of resistance trying to keep kids from being forced to send to these schools, and what happened in response?
Well, Lisa kind of presented a loaded proposition here. There's different factors, but I'll say this, that the program was known as the outing program. And what they did was, and she's right, they would send them to farms or other places for almost like slave labor. And many of these kids never returned. And some of them, you know, it has been suggested that maybe they were either kidnapped, taken away, maybe they died and nobody knew what happened to them. And that's the travesty of this whole thing, is the idea that these kids were removed from the families and some of them disappeared forever. And some people's generations later are still wondering what happened to, and in this case, now they'd be their ancestor, their aunt, great aunt or whatever. And families have had to live with that pain of having lost those children. And as far as Lisa's point about families hiding their children, I know of families here in Michigan or in Michigan that really have, they had codes and people were coming knocking on the door. They did not know. They had code language and say those kids knew to go hide because they didn't want those kids to ever go back to those schools. So it's like I say, it's a very loaded thing, multifaceted proposition here.
Thanks for that call at 800-642-1234. Levi, I know in the news recently, Canada, some of the Catholic institutions you mentioned earlier, investigations found similar kinds of horror stories, really. I believe the Pope issued an apology. Are you hoping to see more investigations like that of different kind of schools here in the U.S. to see if what happened in Canada was happening here, too?
Yes, I completely agree with the idea of this investigation to continue to really delve deep. And I think to me, that's part of the healing process, really identify how bad this was. And as I said earlier, the 500 deaths that they know now, I mean, I know of 227 up in Michigan alone. And then there's like 186 graves, as I recall, down in Carlisle. So, yeah, those together, you're almost at 500 right there. And so I just think it's going to go into thousands. And there are many experts who have been studying boarding schools for decades who suggest that it will go into maybe up to 10,000 students that went missing or lost. And you think about that. These are kids, American Indian, Native American, Alaska Native kids, Hawaiian children that were not able to live their future. So what a travesty that is, and what a pain, and what a stigma it is. It's a dark chapter in American history. And notice I said American history.
You have written other pieces recently, Levi, in addition to covering this report, looking at language preservation, restoration, the loss of medicinal traditions and others. Can you talk about your hopes to restore some of what might have been lost as the chains of knowledge were broken in these schools?
Well, and I really am excited, as I said, about the resurgence of American Indian culture. And I really like that because I've seen it in my lifetime. And I would really think that a lot of it started with the American Indian movement back in the 1970s and really have triggered. And, you know, with the passing of the 1978 American Indian Freedom of Religion Act that allows American Indians to practice their traditional ceremonial practices, that was really key to help shift that. And we can embrace our culture, live our culture now. And I would love to see that happen and continue. And it's just so important. The language that was, you know, many of our families, I call it like two or three lost generations because it was stripped from us. We haven't been able to continue that. And language is just that. There again, it's part of that fabric of culture that is just so important. Like there are what, 22 Spanish-speaking nations in the world. That's what brings them together as Hispanic people, is that language. And so often our language has been stripped from us. And I'm really excited because Congress has passed legislation that says these American Indian kids, Native American kids, they deserve to learn their languages. And that is exciting.
I've talked over the years, Levi, to people doing education in some of the languages, the native languages of Wisconsin, as well as practical arts and skills, canoe making, textile arts, and more. Mm-hmm. Are there projects like that that you've seen that you're particularly excited about that you want to shout out, whether in Michigan or elsewhere around the Midwest?
I would say Michigan has a lot. I know I'm on the advisory board. Council at Grand Valley State University. We're going to have a summer camp. And so it's a two-way street. The kids can come, Native kids can learn a little more about their culture, but also be acquainted with the idea they can go get their education, which is so critically important. So there's that program, but across the country, there are tribe after tribe, usually have really strong youth groups that they are teaching them how to make ribbon skirts, some of the attire that our children can dance and powwows and celebrate who they are as Native Americans. And I'm just excited about it. And given the fact that we deal with the negative history, that is the positive thing that I'm seeing today.
In just our last minute, Levi, this report from the U.S. Department of the Interior, I don't think anybody views it as a last step. Briefly, what are you hoping to see next?
I'm hoping to see a better number of the deaths and further acknowledgement. I would like to see how the U.S. government, in some cases, I think it's quite necessary to implement more mental health counseling, mental health services on Indian reservations. It's just, to me, so many of our people still suffer because of what happened with the boarding schools. And I think that Congress needs to acknowledge it. The administration needs to acknowledge it, that more money is needed to heal.
Levi, thanks so much for joining us today.
Hey, my pleasure. Thank you.
That's Levi Rickert, founder, publisher, and editor of Native News Online, member of the Prairie Band Potawatomi Nation. He joined us today to talk about the new Federal Indian Boarding School Initiative investigative report, looking at the 150-year history of these federally mandated boarding schools for Native American children.